Deep dive into the world of science with Nature Plus. From the vastness of the distant star systems to the intricacies of infectious diseases due to climate change, we've got you covered. Enjoy access to over 55 cutting-edge journals, breaking scientific news, and over 1,000 new articles every month. Whether you're a seasoned researcher or just curious, Nature Plus simplifies complex studies. Plus, it's all available right at your fingertips on nature.com. Nature Plus, the key to unlocking the world's most significant scientific advances. Subscribe today at go.nature.com/plus.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ali 12 Trees is on her way to the physics department, carrying an icebox full of proteins.
So, is this a journey you have to do multiple times a day then?
It can be, yeah. No more than twice. I try to make it no more than twice.
The proteins in the cooler are motor proteins taken from neurons, where they shuttle cargo up and down to keep the cells healthy. They've already taken Ali several days to prepare. Now it's the fun bit. She's going to see if she can make out their shapes under a special microscope.
So we're just walking up past the Students' Union, and the physics building is behind the Students' Union, and that's where the microscope is.
Ali wants to image her motor proteins one by one to get a nice clean picture of what shapes or conformations they take under different conditions. One day, she hopes, knowledge like this could help unlock what goes wrong in conditions like motor neuron disease, where motor proteins don't work properly. For a while, she only had the idea and no way to do it. She can't buy her own microscope until she wins some funding. But before she even joined Sheffield, she had a lucky break. Her husband Dan, a biochemist, ran into another scientist at the university, Tim Craggs, and got chatting about his microscope that could see single molecules. It was a eureka moment for Ali. This was what she needed to answer the questions ticking away in the back of her mind. Ali and Tim have been collaborating since she officially joined the university, and back in October 2018, they invited Nature into the optics lab to take a peek.
Hello!
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm bringing a team.
Wow, right. Everybody's here.
Cool.
In the room is a stainless steel surface with tiny holes in it, like an air hockey table, tricked out with lasers, lenses and mirrors to direct light onto the samples and make them fluoresce.
So it allows us to take measurements that tell us about the conformation, like the shape that the kinesin molecules are in. And how they respond to different environments.
Being able to see the kinesin molecules in their different shapes is key, but it's step one of about 1,000 towards getting the result that Ali hopes for. Doing science from scratch is slow. And there's so much prep and trial and error at every stage. It's the same for early career researchers worldwide. And that's assuming you can find time to get to the lab in between all the other tasks that fill a PI's diary. So how do you juggle it all? And try and get some science done along the way? Reporter Heidi Ledford takes the story from here.
Two years after he started his lab, Dan Bowes heads down to the basement of the biology department at the University of Sheffield. He enters a small dark room dominated by a large metal cylinder with an eyepiece at the bottom and an instrument panel that looks like a flight deck. Dan sits down in front of the microscope like a nervous pilot.
I am very rusty with this microscope, so I did this for years and years before my second postdoc, and then I didn't touch a scope again for 6 years. So part of this whole process for me is getting back on the scope. Actually, it's amazing how much of it is muscle memory, and you know whether the right knobs and dials are and how to get the grid in and out without going to jinx myself now, doing too much damage.
Dan has been studying this protein, called CBP, for 7 years at this point. As a postdoc, he figured out that it binds to snippets of RNA, and that together, the pair affect how genes are turned on. If the experiment today works and he can see the samples well, his next step is to zoom in even further and look at the protein-RNA partnership under a much more powerful microscope, where he can get a clearer picture of how the complex is bound together at an atomic level. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Dan has brought some samples with him, hundreds of thousands of CBP stuck to RNA molecules, dried onto tiny copper grids about the size of sequins. He carefully extracts one grid from a box using tweezers.
This is where too much coffee doesn't really pay.
He places the sample into the holder and inserts it into the microscope.
So this is a CM100, which is kind of like a workhorse electron microscope. It has a filament at the top, which generates electrons.
It turns out Dan is being too modest about his rusty skills. His confidence soon kicks in as he starts getting the microscope ready.
So it behaves pretty much like a light microscope, except you're focusing electrons instead of light.
It does make me think a little bit about the old movie Alien. It's got that delightful kind of screen there, right? Like retro-futuristic.
So actually on one of the Alien movies, I was watching it on a plane, on a really turbulent plane. I was watching it. I recognized that bit of equipment. And they'd used an old electron microscope as some of their kit.
He consults the laminated user guide, and after a while, some grainy gray images appear on the screen.
So this is just a big lump of gunk. Dirt.
I was getting excited.
Yeah, no. If I saw something this big, I'd be worried.
The first sample is a dud. Not enough protein, or maybe not stained clearly enough. He tries another, flies around the sample for a few minutes. The hum of the room is comforting. And then...
Oh. Wow, that is actually pretty good. So these are protein complexes. They're slightly bigger than CBP looks on its own on a grid, so it looks like we've got protein and RNA binding together, which I'm smiling anyway. You can't see this on here.
What's it like to see it?
It's pretty amazing. I can see it. I've been looking at it for years as a band on a gel, and band shift is to start to see things interacting like this is... Nice.
You can't really tell, but Dan is thrilled. It's a nice victory for today, and a crucial step in his plans for his lab. He wants to hire a postdoc to focus on this work.
To start to feel like there's a sample that we can look at, and to start to build the structural side of the lab up is pretty exciting.
It's as if some alarm goes off in Dan's head when he's too effusive, because the next thing he says is...
There's a sample on a grid, and it looks like it might work, so this is not bad.
Not bad, Carl.
Amazing. This is amazing. It's amazing. It's
good.
Pretty cool.
We'll take that. Nice one.
Just say amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Ruffalo. Hey. Astounding.
This is one of those special moments in science where the theory and the hours of prep work come together. That's what attracts many scientists to research in the first place. But the truth is that these moments are few and far between. And for PIs, it can feel like the science itself is a background hum, and the din of other demands overwhelms it. There's always admin to do. Both Allie and Dan have PhD students to recruit and their current students to look after. And for Dan, an additional job. Giving lectures and setting exam questions for undergraduates, something he didn't have much experience of before starting in Sheffield.
To stand in front of a class and to see them, they behave as a single body. You can see them tune out of when you tell them something that's maybe not quite connecting, and how do you get that back? And that interaction has been really quite fun and quite exciting and terrifying also.
But the biggest demand on their time and stress levels remains getting money. And Allie and Dan, who have a young daughter, have to take turns applying for grants so that someone can keep the household running.
When one of us has a big deadline, kind of the other person has to be responsible for picking up our daughter and, you know, feeding her and putting her to bed and that kind of thing. And yeah, so we can't both be in a panic about a deadline at the same time because it doesn't work.
In the UK, remember, often PIs are hired but have to go out and find their own funding to keep their labs alive. In 2017, Dan tried and failed to win a big grant. In 2018, Allie had her first go on the funding roller coaster.
And I just knew as soon as I saw the email, even though I hadn't seen the content of it, that it was negative.
So then I forced myself to read the email, and then I called my husband, and then I ran away and had some lunch and a big piece of chocolate brownie and a small cry, and got back to work again.
Allie doesn't wallow. She knows it's rare to get the first big grant you go for, and she also has a PhD student to supervise. Plus, she's also agreed to work on a paper with a fellow new PI about the experience of being a new PI in science, for which they have been collecting data. A few months later, and it's Dan's turn to stand up in front of a panel and sell himself and his work. He's applied for the same fellowship Allie missed out on. This is the second time he's applied to the scheme, and the first time he's made it this far.
I think it's a great skill to have, to be able to stand up and defend your work like that. You know, in theory, everything about your project, and you're trying to communicate that and defend it. Do I like it? No, I'm scared. but I can see the value of it.
A few weeks later, Dan was on the train on the way down to London to give a talk and checked his email. There was a message from the grant scheme.
I read as far as, I am pleased to confirm, and then I skipped through to successful, and then I put it down, and then I had to pick it up again and reread it and make sure that I hadn't misread it. I broke out in a massive grin to start off with, and I think everyone thought I was acting very weirdly.
Dan forwarded the email on to Allie to share the good news.
I phoned her up before she read the email that I sent her, so she was reading it on the phone to me, and she was just delighted as well, I think. We do all of this together, you know, you ride the ups and the downs and the pain and the rejections and all of this stuff. You do it at the same time, and so it's just lovely to be able to share that kind of happiness and release with her. And then we went through a tunnel, and that was the end of it.
Back in Sheffield the next day, Dan, Ali, and his colleagues met up to celebrate. He marked his big achievement by firing a champagne cork as far down a corridor as possible.
I'll see how far that
This fellowship, worth well over £1 million over 5 years, transforms Dan's ability to do research. Instead of trying to stretch his dwindling funds, suddenly he can afford to buy new equipment, to try new experimental approaches, and to hire a postdoc to ramp up the group's research. But for Dan and Allie, this fellowship also buys something else. Time. 5 years of funding means the family can start putting down some proper roots.
That stability just means a lot. It means you can start planning to look for schools and know that Ada will be in school in 5 years' time. And in terms of building a life that's normal, I guess, it makes a big difference.
At a Christmas dinner organised by Dan, Ali and a fellow PI at the end of 2019, the pair look around. There are now over 20 people in attendance, where 3 years ago there were only 5, including the 3 PIs. There is a real sense of momentum. But in the back of Ali's mind, she knows that this isn't permanent. She's reapplying for the same grant Dan won, and if she doesn't win it this time around, everything could change. And unbeknownst to her, a personal crisis and a global pandemic are about to throw everything into chaos. That's next time on Starting Up in Science. This episode of Starting Up in Science was written by me, Kerry Smith, and Benjamin Thompson. It was narrated by Heidi Ledford. Benjamin Thompson and I produced the series with editing help from Noah Baker. Heidi Ledford, Richard Van Norden, Benjamin Thompson and I reported the story for the podcast and for the text version that you can find on our website. Read that at nature.com/news.
Deep dive into the world of science with Nature Plus. From the vastness of the distant star systems to the intricacies of infectious diseases due to climate change, we've got you covered. Enjoy access to over 55 cutting-edge journals, breaking scientific news, and over 1,000 new articles every month. Whether you're a seasoned researcher or just curious, Nature Plus simplifies complex studies. Plus, it's all available right at your fingertips on nature.com. Nature Plus, the key to unlocking the world's most significant scientific advances. Subscribe today at go.nature.com/plus.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.